20 years ago, Jamie Lee Curtis started her career as the Queen of Scream in John Carpenter's Halloween. She played 17-year-old Laurie Strode, the intended victim of her masked brother, Michael Myers. Curtis followed up with roles in other slasher films like Terror Train, Prom Night, and Halloween 2, and some people wondered if Jamie Lee Curtis would ever break out of horror films. But the comedies Trading Places and A Fish Called Wanda took care of that. Now Curtis is returning to her horror roots in the latest sequel to Halloween, Halloween H2O. She's reprising her role as Laurie Strode, who has assumed a new identity and works as headmistress of a private high school. Let's listen to a scene in which Laurie tells her lover, played by Adam Arkin, about her past.
My brother killed my sister when she was 17.
How'd he do that?
With a really big, sharp kitchen knife.
That's terrible. Take off your gloves.
You said you'd listen.
Okay.
It happened on Halloween. You've heard the story.
Who hasn't? Michael Myers. It's like 20 years ago, right?
1978.
What happened to the sister? She died, right?
No, she faked her death. Hoping and praying every year that her brother won't find her.
You're telling me the truth?
Now, do you want a drink?
Yeah.
Among the stars of Halloween H2O is Janet Leigh, Jamie Lee Curtis's mother, who's best known as the victim killed in the shower in Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. Her father is actor Tony Curtis. Tony Curtis and Janet Leigh separated when Jamie was 3 and she grew up with her mother. Terry Gross spoke with Jamie Lee Curtis in 1990 and asked her about her Hollywood upbringing.
You've described your childhood, growing up in the Hollywood area, as growing up with royalty. How would you compare the kind of Hollywood experience with, growing up with your mother, Janet Leigh, who was a Hollywood star? How did that compare to royalty?
First of all, any recollection or point that I make about my childhood, is always made from a retrospective position. It's being made as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult, I look back on my childhood and imagine that when you have famous parents, particularly Hollywood celebrities who are risen above a status, because they're bigger than life on the movie screen, they were both beautifully, physically beautiful people, very talented, and the public loved them so. There is a royal sense. I remember going to Disneyland and having one of those VIP tours. I never had to stand in a line. It was just that part of my life. It was when I was a child, I didn't remember this. It wasn't like as a child I thought I was a little princess. And as a child, I was a normal kid. I had a great time. She wasn't like walking around. I'm saying that the perception of my parents was that they were. My mother raised us in a rural area of Los Angeles, almost a countryfied atmosphere, up a dirt road with a donkey outside our house in a corral. I mean, we lived in the country. We were raised a very natural existence in California, but certainly not a glitzy glamo one, which is not something my mother adopted as a personal lifestyle at all.
Did the studios do any publicity around your birth? And if so, I was wondering if you read the articles or saw news clips when you were older.
Well, certainly now, in retrospect, I have many of these funny old Life magazines and photo plays. People have told me all my life, I remember when you were born. And it's not something that I walk around going, a lot of people know when I was born. It's hard to talk about this because I really want to impart that this is not something that I think about. It's not something that I apply to my life or my daily life ever. It is a fact that this happened. And yes, my parents were huge stars at the time, and my birth was a big deal to a lot of people.
Were there any fantasies that were made up about your family at around the time of your birth? I mean, looking back, can you separate fact from fiction? The Hollywood publicity offices were really famous for just constructing lives that would be glamorous, for making things up about their star.
I read these things, and I don't believe that one word is attributed directly to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was made up. I think every single word was made up. Or they would take the fact of that Janet and Tony were married and they had a baby and, you know, our life is blessed by our baby Kelly or, I truly believe that it was just manipulated. It was just that sort of manipulation of what people wanted to hear.
I know when I was growing up, I had so many fantasies that were based on movies that I'd seen. And I'm thinking that when you...
Tell us a few. We want to know.
Never, never.
We here in America want to know.
But I'm thinking when you were growing up,
Was Tyrone Power and a pair of jodhpurs anything to do with those?
But your parents were in the movies, and unlike my parents, and all of their friends were the movie stars. So I was wondering if the movies, were they a part of your fantasy life, or did they just seem like what the parents do when they go to work?
No, unfortunately, one of my saddest feelings about being raised in Hollywood, if there really is something that I consciously, as an adult, look back on and think I wish I could have changed it, because I saw and knew movies, the magic is broken for me. And I was never, as a child, like I'm sure so many people who are not from the movie industry, are enamored by films and have a really romantic, powerful relationship with going to movies. Many people talk about, particularly filmmakers and actors, talk about all their lives going to the cinema, all their lives being taken to movies and watching. And I just didn't have that. Although I was shown films, they did not impart a magical quality to me. It was more just a very sort of cutthroat, this is the movie, but da-da-da-da-da. And I wish I had that sort of magical dream of being in the movies, that people sit back in that dark theater and think, I'll be up there someday. I didn't have that fantasy.
Since growing up in Hollywood, movies were so work-related to you, when did you decide you wanted to act yourself?
Well, again, growing up in Hollywood, they were work-related in the sense that my mom and dad did them, and I would go and hang out on the set on occasion. You know, I was in school most of the time, so you don't go hang out very much. And again, I don't have any recollection of when it was I decided to do it. It just was, really by chance that it happened that I'm an actress today, because a tennis teacher I knew was sort of turned into a quasi-manager, and he wanted me to go up for Nancy Drew, which I didn't get, but I guess there was interest in who this little girl was. I was in college at the time and ended up in California on a month's break and did an independent study on just sort of how to break into show business. And I ended up signing a contract with Universal Studios for right at the end of that month, right before I was supposed to go back to college, and never went back.
This is Universal TV?
Well, at the time, it was Universal. Well, I mean, it was MCA Universal. They were the last studio to still have a contract system, very much like my parents. I mean, the ironic thing that, in fact, nobody's brought up very much, and I find interesting, is that both my parents were contract players when they first started acting. They were young people. My mother was discovered, literally discovered. My father was in New York. He was discovered, brought out to Hollywood. Both of them grew up on the studio system. And in fact, I was one of the last actresses in the world to be under contract. Literally 7-year, 6-month option, their option contract, where I got paid $235 a week. And they disbanded the contract system about 3 years into my contract. But I did. They farmed me out to do Halloween. They lent me out. It was a real contract system. Sharon Gless, mm-hmm. Myself, Delta Burke was under contract at some point. Andrew Stevens.
Were you groomed to be a certain kind of actress by Universal? Because in the contract system, you were often groomed to be a certain type for certain types of roles.
No, one of the reasons I think the contract system disbanded was at one point Universal had like a monopoly on primetime television. And so it was very convenient for them to have sort of a crop of young actors that they could still had to audition for parts, but they were paying them a fairly small amount of money and giving them experience. And the hope of the contract system always is that you're going to groom a young star, that one of these times you give this person a part, it becomes huge, you've got this person under contract for no money, and you basically have a very hot commodity which you're not paying a lot of money to and you're making a lot of money on. The problem with the current contract system that finally disbanded, was that they never took it that final step. They never had the material or the bravery to sort of give one of these contract actors the big break. They just never had the guts to go with a contract actor. They always went with like some other person from the outside. And so they really disbanded it. Whereas in my parents' generation, you know, they did, and they also, in my parents' generation, there were acting teachers afforded to these contract players. They taught you how to dress and makeup, and they groomed you in as either, you know, the fresh country girl or the femme fatale or whatever. There was no support given to these contract actors except a paycheck every week and the knowledge that they would get a good shot at getting some episodic television. That was it. So I think another reason it disbanded is that it just wasn't, in a modern society, it's just not feasible to have that.
So what did you get? What kind of roles did you get in the 3 years that you had this contract?
Well, I did two lines on Quincy was my first job. Then I did an emergency. Then I played a biker chick on Nancy Drew. Then I did one other show there, and I can't remember what it was. And then I did the pilot for a series at Universal called Operation Petticoat, which during the shooting of the pilot, it was a two-hour movie of the week that was a backdoor pilot is what they call it. And in the middle of shooting that two-hour movie of the week, we got picked up as a series. So all of a sudden, I was on a series for a year, Operation Petticoat, 1978.
So Universal Studio loaned you out to do Halloween. How did you get the part of Halloween? It was your first. It was your first movie, wasn't it? Starring role in a movie, anyways.
Oh, certainly. It was an audition. Like, you know, when you're a young actor, you audition every day, and it was just another audition. I just went in and read for John Carpenter, and then came back and read again, and then came back and read again, and got the part.
I know Halloween was considered the first in the slasher films and everything, but really, you were the kind of heroine in it who was important because you weren't the passive victim. You were being stalked by the psychotic killer, and you were fighting back, and you won. And that was kind of a breakthrough in a lot of ways, really. Were you aware of that at the time?
I was aware that I was very glad that I was upholding the strength of women. I also was playing women with intelligence. Mm-hmm. I was playing the high school brain. I was playing what we all hope are the good virtues of young women, you know, women who are intelligent, who read, who study, who are good friends. I mean, I really believed, even though I was being slammed up against the wall by the women's groups, that I was in these what seemed to be exploitation films. I was not being exploited. I felt I was upholding very, you know, I mean, in the context of real life, we're talking about a horror movie. But in it, since it was my only job and I was a young woman, I felt I was holding up the real, you know, the best that I could be as a woman in those films. I certainly was never playing the slut or the little tease or any of those that would be easily exploitable parts. I was playing the good girls, and I was very happy to have that role.
Jamie Lee Curtis stars in the new film Halloween H2O. She spoke with Terry back in 1990. This is Fresh Air.